What a wonderful day this has been in so many ways. It's been a complete day. We had over 400 at 4:45. Just think the difficulty we'd have had of getting everybody in the building tonight. And it's so wonderful to see so many people coming and to hear the singing. Chris, I appreciate your remarks. I count it a joy and a privilege to be able to sit up here and look at the audience and to see the singing as you see it from this vantage point, and I appreciate what Chris said. Today has been a day when there have been tears shed. We had four funerals this afternoon. Our own Carly Darnell, of course, and Jackie Muse and Aline Smith, and I understand that William Woodson's mother-in-law was buried this afternoon in Jackson. Some of you attended that funeral. At a bridal shower, we've had good things that have happened. We've had times to smile. We've had times to share with each other in every way. There's been a lot of people out of town today. I know two or three groups from the college. And in fact, I would guess that some of the ones that you saw come in a little bit after the service started was one of the groups that got back in town. And I want to commend you young people, you students, for coming on like that. There may be times that you'll get back a little late. If you do, come right on to the services like you did tonight. We're just thankful for what you're doing to promote Christian principles and for your being with us at every time that you can. In the passage that was read a few minutes ago, there was the statement that Paul made, "In whatsoever state I am, I've learned to be content." I probably have preached as many lessons out of this section of Philippians as any part of the book, and probably more so than many other parts of the Bible. But I don't think I had really stopped to think about three words that are in that passage, like I did a few days ago as I was listening to someone else speak. I don't even remember who it was now. Someone read that passage or speak from that passage, and I noticed the words, "I have learned." It caused me to stop and do some thinking. You know, down through the years, there's been a lot of controversy and debate and discussion about how much environment plays in the development of an individual and how much inheritance has to do with his development. There are those who think that almost everything is controlled by inheritance, and there are those who think that almost everything is controlled by environment. I believe the truth of the matter is that both factors are involved. But I find myself concerned, especially in the time in which we live, that too much credit is being given to inheritance. Particularly in the area of homosexuality as an alternate lifestyle. We hear people say that this is an alternate lifestyle that a person cannot help and cannot control, cannot change, that that's the way he was born, that's the way he is, that he's controlled by his genes, and there's nothing he can do about it. Well, we certainly understand, if we know anything about science, that genes are involved. And many of, especially the physical characteristics that we have, in fact, I suppose all the physical characteristics that we have, are determined by inheritance. And I'm sure that the capacity for learning may be affected by inheritance. And the development of emotions and other things, no doubt, may be affected by inheritance. Folks, I believe we can take the Bible and show that many of the things that may have been attributed to inheritance should be attributed to environment and to what is taught and what is present in the environment where a person is being developed. And that's what caught my attention as I saw these words, "I have learned." I want to think with you tonight for just a little bit about the learning process. Many of you in the audience are teachers. You are involved on a daily basis with the learning process. And you maybe will understand some of the things that I'm saying even better than I do. But I decided after having heard that sermon and being impressed with that statement that I would do a little bit of research in God's Word and see what is said about the learning process. I want to share some of the results of that research with you tonight. First, the Bible clearly teaches that we can learn facts. In Psalms 119, which is the longest book in the Bible as far as numbers of verses are concerned, 175, with almost all of those verses having either the word or law or commandment or something like that in it, there are three verses that especially stand out to me relative to our subject of study. In verse 7, he says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Now, God is the judge. You and I understand that we're going to stand before him face to face in the final judgment. He has a standard by which he is going to judge. And here the psalmist says that we can learn what that standard is. We can learn what those statutes are, what those judgments are. I use the word statutes, and that's because in the 71st verse of Psalms 119, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. What are the laws of God? Can we know what they are? The psalmist says, through the learning process, we can. And two verses later in that same chapter, at verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give understanding that I may learn thy commandments. You may be aware that there are those who say we can't know what the truth is, that truth is always relative, that it's not something that we can really learn and pinpoint what it is and understand what it is. Notice he says, I have learned thy judgments, I have learned thy statutes, I have learned, or I may learn, thy commandments. In Romans 16 and verse 17 in the New Testament, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. He says that doctrine is something that we can learn. The word doctrine is a word which really means teaching. The doctrine of the Bible is the teaching of the Bible. The doctrine of God is the teaching of God. The doctrine of devils would be the teaching of the devils. It is possible for us to learn the doctrine. It's possible for us to learn true doctrine, the doctrine which is of God. But that passage also points out that it is possible for us to learn the things that are contrary to the doctrine, which would be false doctrine, that which causes division, that which causes offenses, contrary to the doctrine which is true. He says this is a learning process. If you look at the subject of doctrine today, you will find almost anything taught on any subject that could be mentioned. Why is that taught? The people who are teaching God's doctrine today, did they just inherit that? Did someone just send them a package and give it to them? Did someone perform a miracle that they might know those facts? I don't think so. Those who teach the doctrine of God today and teach the Word of God teach it because they have learned it. And how many times have we said, you cannot teach what you do not know. You cannot teach what you have not learned. It's a learning process. And yet those today who will have or will be teaching doctrine that is contrary to the Word of God are people who learned that doctrine. There are people who are sitting at the feet of men today who are teaching things that are diametrically opposed to the Word of God. They'll sit and listen and they'll learn that and they'll learn how to approach it. And they'll learn the process of teaching that false doctrine. It is something that is learned, and we ought not to ever take that for granted. In 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, a passage that's very familiar, Paul said to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Twice in this passage he uses the word learned. He says, I want you to continue in the things that you've learned, and I want you to remember of whom you have learned them. Well, what are you talking about, Paul? I'm talking about the Holy Scriptures, Timothy, that you've been taught from a child. In that setting of the faith of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, mentioned in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Continue in these things. What? The things that you have learned. You didn't inherit these. He said, this unfeigned faith I see in you, Timothy, I saw in your grandmother and in your mother. But he said, it is your faith. I see it in you. Not something you inherited, it's something you developed. You have learned it from a child up. The learning process means, in the first place, that we can learn facts. And the amount of time that we give to the study of God's Word will determine, in a large measure, how many of those facts we know and how much of God's Word we know. But I believe the Bible also teaches that we can learn emotions. Or we, maybe it would be better to say, can learn how to deal with our emotions, to develop them or to control them. In Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter and verse 10, and a part of that verse, he says, I will make them hear my words that they may learn to fear me. Now, fear is an emotion. And yet he says that they may learn it, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth. Fear is an emotion that we learn fairly early, and yet some types of fear we do not learn so early. The little child does not fear the hot stove until he, through some kind of process, has learned that it's hot and that he is to fear it. You put a small child out in the area where there is a line that is loose, and that child would not run from that line because he has not developed that sense of fear at that point. There are some types of fear that seem to be present very early in a child's life. There are other types of fear that maybe none of us here tonight has learned to the degree that is needed. We're told to fear God. We were singing that song, How Great Thou Art, a few minutes ago. Did you notice that the word awesome, or the idea of awesomeness, is involved with God? And there where we're told to fear him in Acts 10, 34 and 35, this is the idea of respect and awe toward God with a godly fear. We're told to follow him with a godly fear. In Hebrews 12, 28, verse 29, he said to be a consuming fire. That's respect for the greatness and the power of God. We continue as long as we live to learn that emotion, to learn to fear, to learn what to fear and what not to fear. Sometimes people have not learned to be afraid of the things that can hurt them, even as adults. So this indicates that even our emotions are something that can be learned. In Philippians 4 and verse 9, which is just earlier than our text of tonight, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Well, what things is he talking about? Look back at verse 8. The previous verse says, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, think on these things. Now look at some of those. Honesty. Honesty has to do with an attitude, with a philosophy of life. It's not just dealing with facts. It's dealing with what we are and how we use what we have. That's not something that is inherited. Children can learn to tell the truth, or they can learn to tell a lie. They can learn to be honest, or they can learn to cheat. And sometimes that learning process maybe goes on to some extent even in the later years of life. Look at the word lovely that's there in verse 8. I know from experience that loveliness is something that can be learned. I've known some adults who were not so lovely at one point in life who learned to be lovely and became wonderful people. And I've known some children who acted in such a way that it almost changed my belief of whether or not we're demon-possessed today, who a few years later became some of the most lovely people that you'd ever want to meet. Now, I don't believe that was inherited. If it did, it took a long time for the genes to come to the forefront. It's something that was learned through a process of teaching and effect upon that person's life by several factors, perhaps, but the learning process. He said, these things that you have learned of me, the things that are involved in these attitudes and even emotions, that I want you to do those things. They can be learned. And then back to our text. I have learned to be content. Sometimes people think, well, I was born that way. Some people were just born to be easygoing and content, and others were born to be just the opposite. Don't think so. Paul said, all these things that have happened in my life, and he mentioned some of them there, went into further details in 1 Corinthians about the sufferings that he had had. 2 Corinthians also. He said, with all of this that has happened, I have learned to be content. It's a learning process. And to be able to have the emotions controlled and to use our emotions in the right way is something that we need to learn. In addition, God's word indicates that we can even learn about our relationships, especially with Christ and with God. Listen to these passages. Matthew 11, 29, starting at 28. He talks about, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen to 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. I would hope that every one of us who is here tonight is in the continuing process of learning about Jesus. None of us knows everything about him. None of us has arrived in our complete relationship with him. Oh, we can be in him. We can know we're in him. But I mean in that complete growth relationship with him. He says, you have learned of me, or come unto me and learn of me. We can even learn about Jesus. And in John, the 6th chapter and verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. You see, there was a time when you and I didn't know anything about God. And there was a time when we knew just a little bit about God. Now there is a time that we know a great deal more about God. And the time may come when we will know even more and more about God. It is a learning process, where we learn more and more about Christ and about God, how great God is. Even after we've sung such songs as we've sung tonight about the greatness of God, there's still room for us to learn more and more and to see more evidence that will cause us to be convinced in that learning process of what Christ is and what God is. And then the Bible indicates that the learning process has something to do with our own actions. We can learn to act right. We can even learn to act. Back in Isaiah 1:17, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Several things mentioned there that indicate the idea of benevolent work, works of encouragement. He says, learn to do it. You may not know how to do it, but learn to do it. Learn to do well. It's a learning process. It's not a case where I can't help it. The devil made me do it, or God made me do it. Either one of those statements is not correct. It's a case of where we learn to do what is right. We learn righteousness was included in one of the first statements that we saw in Psalm 119. Learn righteous judgments. We talked about the judgments from the standpoint of facts, but the righteousness really has to do with our being involved in action and doing that which is right. We learn to do well. In Titus 3:14, learn to maintain good works. How do we know that we're to visit the sick and the fatherless and the widows and to help those that are hungry and encourage those that are suffering and are weak? We learn it. We learn it by reading God's Word. We may learn it by observing what other people do. We may have others teach us these concepts and what's involved in this, but it's a learning process. He says, learn to maintain good works. And it's even said of Jesus in Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Learned he obedience. If you're a dad or a mother tonight, you understand that to some extent. A child doesn't have complete obedience just because he's born or whatever his inheritance is. Learned obedience. Perhaps the opposite of these latter two or three things that I've mentioned is in 1 Timothy 5:13, where he talks about some who learn to be idle. You can learn to be obedient. You can learn to do good works. You can learn to maintain good works. Or you can learn to be idle and not do anything. It's a process of learning. We learn facts. We learn to deal with our emotions. We learn about our relationships. And we learn about our actions. Recognizing that is true, there are three things that I would emphasize in summing up the lesson. One is, each one of us needs to realize that he doesn't know everything about anything. There's not a one of us who knows everything about anything. There's always room to learn. Believing that, the second thing is, all of us ought to always keep an open mind and open ears. I like what is said in Acts 10:33 at the household of Cornelius. Now are we all here gathered before God to hear all things commanded thee of God. What an audience for a preacher. We're here. We're ready to listen. Tell us what God wants us to know. Keep an open mind on any subject because we can always learn. And the third thing that I would suggest is that each one of us needs to put forth every effort that he can to learn. The ones in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. There's the openness of mind, but it goes on. And search the scriptures daily whether these things were so. How much time do you spend in the scriptures? How much time do you spend researching some subject that you want to know more about? Three things. We don't know everything about anything. We need to keep an open mind, and we need to put forth the effort to learn all we can that will help us to be better Christians in service to God. If you're not a Christian, I hope you have learned that you need to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins. If you're a wayward child of God, I hope you have learned the need of repentance, confession, and prayer to God. We need to learn what God wants us to do, and then when we have learned it, to put it into action, to learn what the action ought to be. If you need to act relative to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.
No. nothing but the blood of Jesus, not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Please be seated.
Ron Butterfield, if you will, in a moment, come and lead us in a word of prayer. Tonight, two of our young men have come forward. Steve Ward says, I have said and done.